Gopikanda Balabha Gravadin Hari Gopikanda Balabha Gravadin Hari Yashoda Nandana Vrajojana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajojana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachahariyam Yamuna Tira Vanachahari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Bahalata Gravadir Hari Yashoda Nandana Vrajojana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachahariya Yamuna Tira Vanachahariya Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Bhagavad Gitara Sotera Sri Shri Shrimad Swami Grace Hesi Bhakti Vinanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Holy Appearance Day of Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Ranga Namaham Vishnu Paraya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tiramane Namaste Saraswati Deim Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasthacha Deshitarane Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Can we ask everyone to please be a little silent while we begin class? It's fine to look at the babies, but let's do it quietly. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So we begin, of course, with a very famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.32. I don't think we have it up, but you know, but a lot of you know it, you can repeat at least one. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam.
That's all right.
Sangopan Gastra Parishadam. Jagyai Sankirtana Prayai. Yajanti Hi Sumedhasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So the Srimad Bhagavatam predicts the incarnation, we should actually say the appearance, because he is no ordinary incarnation, the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this appearance of Lord Chaitanya is actually predicted in many scriptures. One of the ways that we know that there's a bona fide appearance of the Lord or a bona fide incarnation is that it doesn't just come randomly and then certain people say, oh yes, he was an incarnation. Actually, it is predicted within our scriptures thousands of years before the actual happening. So Lord Chaitanya's appearance was predicted in the Padma Purana, the Narada Purana, Matsya Purana, Agni Puranas, and many other Vedic scriptures. Just a couple of samples of these in the Narada Purana. It says, O demigods, please come and adventure as devotees on this earth in the age of Kali Yuga. I will incarnate as the son of Sachi to inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And from the Brahma Purana, I will reveal an eternal golden form in the first part of Kali Yuga. I will advent on the earth on the bank of the Bhagiratha as the son of Mother Sachi. So we can see that it is predicted thousands of years previously that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear. And it actually explains who his father and mother are, where he appears, the form, the golden form that he will take, and his purpose. And of course, we know the purpose of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to advent the Yuga Dharma, the Sankirtan Jagya, or the congregational chanting of his holy name, which is the preferred practice, which is the authorized practice of self-realization in this Kali Yuga. So, Lord Chaitanya himself in the Adi Lila, chapter 3, starting with verse 10, describes why he has appeared in this age. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th Divi Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Vrajadham. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna joins in Vraja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus, For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion, made feeble by such reverence, does not attract me. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, or descend the Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Obviously, Bhagavad-gita, fourth chapter. There may be many all-auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who, other than Lord Sri Krishna, can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. Thus the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvip. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. So Lord Chaitanya came specifically to propagate the Sankirtan Jagya, the process of self-realization in this Kali Yuga. He came for, of course, the purposes that all incarnations come, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But he also came for other reasons as well. So we know that there are both the external reasons, propagating the holy name, introducing the Yuga Dharma, fulfilling the desires of Advaitacharya, that he came to this earth. But he also came for his own internal reasons. And those internal reasons have to do with relishing the mood and the love of the great devotees, as particularly Srimati Radharani. So this is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila. I was going to read from the introduction because it's a very nice summary of the reasons, the internal reasons why Lord Krishna appears on this earth. So from the introduction to chapter 4, Adi Lila. In this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object Radharani. The second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime. And to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to fulfill these confidential desires and also to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to answer the call of Advaita Prabhu. These were the secondary reasons. So to summarize, the three internal reasons that Lord Chaitanya appears on this earth were first to desire his desire to relish the mellow of loving devotion as the object. Since he is always the subject of devotion, he wanted to experience being the object, from the object, worshiping the subject. Secondly, he desired to understand the mellow of himself. It's hard for Krishna to understand why is he so attractive. So he wanted to experience the attraction of himself in the role of a devotee. And thirdly, he wanted to enjoy the sweetness of mellows of love tasted by Radharani. Of course, we know that Radharani's love for Krishna is incomparable. It is the embodiment of bhakti, of the deepest level of devotional service, of the conjugal mellow, of rasa that can be experienced anywhere. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to come in that mood, actually to come as Radharani, and come in the color, the mood, the appearance, in one sense, of Radharani, so that he could actually taste that sweet, loving relationship. So these were also the internal reasons that that Lord Chaitanya came, as well as, we're saying, the external reasons of propagating the Sankirtan Yajna, and the introducing, the chanting of the holy name as the spiritual process for Kali Yuga. There's a very nice description of both the internal and external reasons for Krishna's appearance and how this all sort of came together. And a very wonderful pastime of the first time that Lord Chaitanya manifested his form of Gauranga, his form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this actually happened during his appearance of as Krishna 5,000 years earlier. So this story is told in the Chaitanya Mangala, and it's a description of how Krishna reveals the form of Gauranga to both Rukmini and Narada Muni. So first of all, I'll skip through a little bit, it's kind of a long story. Rukmini was very unhappy, and she was crying, and Krishna went to Rukmini to understand what was the cause of her distress. She said, "My dear Lord, I'm going to tell you something from the bottom of my heart. Whoever has intense attachment to serving the lotus feet will definitely taste transcendental ecstasy. Because I am completely devoted and surrendered to you, I can experience the ecstasy of worshipping your lotus feet. You, however, are the Supreme Lord, so how can you understand this ecstasy? Besides me, only Srimati Radharani knows how to relish the mellows of love and taste the highest transcendental pleasure. Although devotees discuss these topics throughout the day and night, they're always amazed by the unique quality of Radharani's pure love for you. Only Radharani, who enjoyed with you in Vrindavan, can understand this completely. No one can compare with Radharani. Now I'm ecstatic to have your lotus feet in my home. Fearing our inevitable separation, I can't help but cry. The taste of serving your lotus feet overpowers my attraction to you in transcendental love. Your devotees always hanker for your lotus feet, meditate upon you, and absorb themselves in your pastimes. During separation from you, my heart trembles in lamentation. Grant me the boon that you'll never leave my home. After hearing Rukmini's wonderful words, Krishna's heart danced in ecstasy. His lotus eyes, reddish like the rising sun, filled with tears of compassion. Sitting on his throne, Lord Krishna gently placed Rukmini in his lap and consoled her. He held Rukmini's chin with his right hand and lovingly looked at her. Waves of nectar overflowed from the ocean of prema within their hearts. Lord Krishna said to Rukmini, O my beloved, I've never heard such an amazing and wonderful description. Until today, no one has ever suggested to me that I should personally taste the love that my pure devotees have for me. Suddenly, just at that moment, the great sage Narada Muni arrived in Dwarka. He always seems to make these timely appearances. His heart was full of anxiety, and he appeared disturbed. Rukmini Devi stood up respectfully and welcomed the sage with sweet words. Krishna offered an asana to Narada, bathed his feet, and then affectionately embraced him. In a happy mood, the Lord inquired about Narada's well-being. Narada's eyes were reddish and brimming with tears of divine love. His voice was choked up and his body was shaking. Narada was so overwhelmed from seeing Krishna that all he could do was cry. Though trying repeatedly, Narada couldn't speak due to the effect of transcendental ecstasy. Lord Krishna said to Narada Muni, O great sage, please tell us clearly why you are so unhappy and disturbed. Narada Muni replied, Singing your holy names and qualities is my nectarian foodstuff. Enchanted by your transcendental qualities, I traverse the unlimited universes, preaching your glories. However, when I can't hear your names being chanted, and when I see the conditioned souls intoxicated by pride, absorbed in materialistic activities, and devoid of all Krishna consciousness, it gives me great pain. I don't see any means of deliverance for these people. Therefore, my mind is always disturbed thinking about this. I've now revealed to you whatever sorrow I have in my mind. In your presence, by the mercy of your lotus feet, I feel greatly relieved. Hearing the words of Narada, Lord Krishna smiled compassionately and said, Listen, great sage, somehow you have forgotten about a previous event. Narada, don't you remember the time you gave me Mahaprasad remnants to Lord Shiva? Gave my Mahaprasad remnants to Lord Shiva. After Parvati Devi ate some, she promised to distribute my Mahaprasad to all living entities. Lord Krishna continued, Listen, Narada, I just heard a wonderful description from Rukmini. As a result of that, I want to promise you, Narada, in the age of Kali, I will manifest a form filled with humility. I shall become a devotee of myself in order to taste the happiness relished by my pure devotees. Not only will I experience the bliss of Prema Bhakti, but I will give it out to everyone in the world. Although I am the Supreme Lord, I will appear as my own devotee. In the association of other devotees, I will freely distribute my love by performing Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name. I will appear in the transcendental abode of Navadvip in Sridhar Mayapur, within the home of Sachimata. Then Krishna explained the qualities of incarnation, of his incarnation in Kali Yuga, by which he would attract the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna said, Narada, my transcendental body will be tall, molten gold in color, and my arms will be long and beautiful. The incomparable beauty of my golden form will defeat the beauty of Mount Sumeru. While absorbed in this ecstasy, Lord Krishna suddenly showed his form as Sri Garanga Mahaprabhu. Narada Muni fainted in divine rapture upon beholding this most beautiful form of Lord Krishna, which would appear in the coming age. Lochan Das says this was the first time that Lord Krishna revealed the transcendental form of Lord Garanga, the beautiful golden Lord saturated with pure love of God. Maharaj Gupta continued his story. Beholding such a wonderfully beautiful form, Narada Muni's heart burst with love and tears rushed from his eyes like a thousand streams. Gauranga's brilliant golden complexion was more effulgent than millions of suns. The shining beauty of millions of moons and millions of cupids would have been put to shame by his inconceivably beautiful face. Blinded by Gauranga's dazzling effulgence, the sage closed his eyes and trembled in ecstasy. Seeing Narada's stunned condition, Lord Krishna withdrew his glowing effulgence and called out in a loud voice, returning to external consciousness, Narada saw Lord Krishna before him, but he was very eager to see the Lord's beautiful form as Gauranga once again. Lord Krishna said, "O Narada, please go throughout the universe and tell the residents of Brahmaloka and Shivaloka that I will soon incarnate in Kali Yuga as Lord Gauranga. In this form of personified mercy, I will establish the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan Yajna. Revealing the glories of Krishna's holy name, I will personally preach the glories of devotional service and give the bliss of Krishna Prema freely to all. Although over the ages many branches of religion have appeared in the world, I will preach pure love of God to unite all people. I will appear on earth along with my intimate friends and followers. With them I will satisfy my cherished desire to relish the pure love that my devotees taste by serving my lotus feet." Narada's miseries and anxieties disappeared on hearing these divine words from the beautiful mouth of Krishna. Having his heart desire fulfilled by the Lord, Narada, playing his veena and singing Krishna's names, left Dwarka. So it's a wonderful story of the appearance of Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first appearance, actually before his incarnation 4,500 years later. And it was only seen by Narada Muni and by Rukmini. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya predicted that he would come, and he gave us the reasons for his manifestation. And, of course, we saw that has all come to pass. And we've been very, very blessed that a little more than 500 years ago, in the Western calendar, 1486, February 18th, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. So, I'll just read a little about the actual pastime of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Which is somewhere here. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 13, verses 77 through 98. Husband and wife, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, having gotten Vishwarupa as their son, were very pleased with the new minds. Because of their pleasure, they specifically began to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. In the month of January in the year 1406 of the Shaka era, AD 1485, that was 1486. Anyway, anybody know? Anyway, here it's at 1485. Lord Krishna entered the bodies of both Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Jagannath Mishra said to Sachimata, "I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent, and it appears as if the goddess of fortune were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere and everywhere I go, all people offer me respect. Even without asking me, voluntarily give me rices, clothing, and paddy." Sachimata told her husband, "I see wonderfully brilliant human beings appearing in outer space as if offering prayers." Jagannath Mishra then replied, "In a dream I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth." Of course, just a month or two ago we read in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam the appearance of Lord Krishna. We can see that very, very similar, how Krishna appeared who came within the heart of Vasudeva and then transferred to the heart of Devaki. So very, very similar. The Krishna entered the heart of Jagannath Mishra and then to the heart of Sachimata. After this conversation, both husband and wife were very jubilant, and together they rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month, but still there was no sign of delivery of the child. Thus Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Nilambara Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then did an astrological calculation and said that in that very month, taking advantage of the auspicious moment, the child would take birth. Thus in the year 1407 of the Shaka era, 1486, oh I see, in 1485 she became pregnant, 1486 she took birth. Okay, now it's clear to me. Okay, so in 1486, in the month of Phalguna, February and March, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment arrived. According to the Jyotir Veda, or the Vedic astrology, the auspicious birth moment is described as follows. The moon was in Leo, the figure of the lion in the zodiac. Leo was the ascendant. Several planets were strongly positioned, and the Shadvarga and Ashtavarga showed all auspicious influences. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hare inundated the three worlds. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of Gaur Hari, advented himself on this earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. While all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, and the heavenly planets, dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious. In this atmosphere, all the 10 directions became jubilant, and as did the waves of the river. Moreover, all beings, moving and non-moving, were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. Thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaur Hari, rose in the district of Nadia, where the sun, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu constantly gave the chanting of the holy name to the world as the means of deliverance. And even from his very birth, we can see this, from the very first moment that Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world, he arranged things in such a way that there would be a lunar eclipse, and because this is considered inauspicious, everyone would go and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to counteract the inauspiciousness of the lunar eclipse. So thus everyone said all the Hindus were chanting Hare Krishna, and the Muslims were all imitating and also chanting Hare Krishna. And it's described that even all the denizens of the heavenly planets were all chanting, playing musical instruments, and chanting during this auspicious appearance. And so all the world became happy, became jubilant on the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, throughout Lord Chaitanya's appearance for 48 years on this planet, he continually brought this great happiness of Krishna Prema, a pure love of God, to all the living entities within this material world. So this is, of course, we talked about the internal reasons for his appearance, to experience the love of Srimati Radharani. But for most of us, probably the most prominent important reasons are that he came and gave us this incredible process of the chanting of the holy names, and thus delivered the entire world from its sinful activities and from the illusion that we are all immersed in this age of Kali. So whenever Krishna incarnates on this earth, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita that he comes for three reasons: Prachunaya Saranam Vinashaya Chadushkatam Dharma Samsarpanartaya Sambhuvami Yuge Yuge. So Krishna comes to establish religious principles. And we described how Lord Chaitanya came and established the religious principle of the Sankirtan Yajna. This is, you know, the age of Kali, which is so difficult, which is not suitable for spiritual life, where all of the processes such as meditation or jnana or study of scriptures are very, very difficult because we're such a fallen age and people have short lives. Their memories, their mind, their intelligence is very much diminished. We are filled with so many material desires, sinful activity. Nothing is auspicious in this age of Kali. So Lord Chaitanya came to give the most simple but sublime process of the chanting of the holy name, something that we have all discovered that every one of us can do quite easily, and thus begin our process of self-realization and freedom from this material world. And of course, he also came to please his devotees. There's so many wonderful pastimes throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangala, so many of these wonderful scriptures that describe the loving relationships between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Actually, so many of these stories, particularly if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, it seems like all they're doing is embracing and crying and falling on the ground and laughing together. And in other words, experiencing these most wonderful, ecstatic spiritual relationships. So Lord Chaitanya did this. He gave pleasure to all of his devotees. And even those who were not devotees, he made devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even gave great pleasure to to all living entities. We know the stories when he was walking through the Jarikandha forest, that he made the tigers and the deer and the elephants all chant Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya gave this great pleasure to all his devotees and to all living entities. Now the third reason, of course, that Krishna comes is to annihilate the miscreants, to kill the demons. So how did Lord Chaitanya do this? There is no pastimes of Lord Chaitanya killing anybody. So we know that when Krishna comes in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he comes as his most munificent incarnation, most merciful. So the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, even though the people are so fallen and sinful, he does not kill the non-devotees, but he delivers the non-devotees by killing the demonic mentality. So the way that he destroys demons is he destroys the demoniac mentality. And it's described, of course, in our scriptures that you know, the divine and demonic nature is in all of us. In the different yugas, you know, demons and devotees were in different planets, and they were on the same planet, and they were in the same family. Now, of course, we see that, you know, both materialistic and spiritual nature is within all of us. So, you know, that's within the same person. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that he cannot come and destroy the demons, or he'd have to practically kill everybody, the sage of Kali. So rather, because of his compassion in his heart for the suffering of the living entities in this Kali Yuga, he came and gave the holy name as a way to deliver the conditioned souls of their demoniac mentality and behaviors. Srila Prabhupada described this in a lecture on Adi Leela 7.3. Srila Prabhupada says, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to kill the demon not by his life, but by their heinous activities. Anyone who comes to be killed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is, his heinous, nefarious activities become killed, and he becomes a Vaishnava, just like Jagai and Madai. So at the present moment, the whole world is full of Jagai and Madai, and there are four principles. Jagai and Madai means illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. This is Jagai Madai. So this movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, is killing these Jagai Madai principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. So one side, killing the Jagai Madai principle, and the other side, protection, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So of course we all know the story of Jagai Madai, which we often tell in the connection of Lord Nityananda. But of course remember that it was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who came upon Jagai Madai after they had injured Lord Nityananda, and after they had committed so many sinful activities, Lord Nityananda, he came with a Sudarshan Chakra, ready to kill them. Lord Nityananda, of course, begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spare them. And he reminded him of his divine purpose. He reminded him that this was his purpose in Kali Yuga, not to kill the demoniacs, but to deliver them from their sinful situation. And so, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his great mercy to both Jagai and Madai. Jagai first, and eventually Madai, after Madai then begged forgiveness of Lord Nityananda. And they became great devotees. Of course, this is a special pastime. We know Jagai and Madai are the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. But nevertheless, this pastime is a great example. Because Jagai and Madai at that time, of course, today they'd be more or less average people. But, of course, they were criminals too. They killed people. So they weren't exactly. But in other words, they were at that time the most sinful people you could find. They'd committed every possible sinful activity that any human being could do, at least at that time. And so their example was that the most sinful, the most fallen people could become not only delivered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but become great devotees. So this is the incredible mercy and the promise that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to every one of us. Because we were all, to some degree, Jagais and Madais, especially those of us who were born in the Western world in this Kali Yuga, who grew up with basically very little knowledge of spiritual life, committing all types of sinful activities. And even if not such a sinful life, at least is definitely very attached, you know, to this materialistic society and to materialistic activities. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for us. He came for all of us, for every living entity in Kali Yuga. In fact, he promised that he would deliver the entire world. It may take some time, but it will happen eventually by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So Lord Chaitanya is called Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, the most munificent, most magnanimous incarnation of Krishna. Because not only does he display his great mercy towards us and his great forgiveness, but he also gives us an easy process that everybody can do, that's available and accessible to all human beings. And we see this, Srila Prabhupada so often spoke about in his lectures, particularly when he was talking to, you know, different groups of people and non-devotees, explaining how accessible this process of chanting Hare Krishna was. He would say, even a child can chant Hare Krishna. Anybody can chant Hare Krishna. Anybody can engage in this Sankirtan Yajna, the congregational chanting of the holy name. And so, because Srila Prabhupada, following the instructions of his spiritual master, which are based entirely upon the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to take this chanting of the holy name to every town and village, to spread this throughout the world, taking that order very, very seriously, this same message was given to all of us. This order of Lord Chaitanya was to engage us all in his pastime of saving the conditioned souls. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is completely being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, directly Krishna. Being Krishna, he could save the entire world single-handedly. He does not need our help. But part of his mercy is to engage us in this wonderful Sankirtan Yajna and to engage us in assisting him in this wonderful process of Sankirtan. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Lila 9, text 39 and 40, in that particular section, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses the analogy of a gardener. And he says that he is the gardener of the devotional creeper of the fruits of bhakti. And he describes that the fruits are bhakti, you know, pure love of God. But he's very concerned that he says, I'm only one person. Of course, taking the humble role of a devotee of himself. He says, I am only one person. I am one gardener. So how can I distribute all of these fruits? How can I make sure that nobody is missed, that everybody receives this pure love of God? So in text 39, he says, distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. In text 41, one who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically instructed the people of India, Bharatvarsha, to take this chanting of the holy name, to take this spiritual knowledge and distribute it all over the world. Now Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that this mission is not only for the people of India, it's also for everyone. So Srila Prabhupada clearly says that Lord Chaitanya has meant this as a universal process for everybody. So all people throughout the world should take up the process of chanting Hare Krishna, should take up the Sankirtan Yajna, and distribute this process to others. This is how we gain the mercy, not only of our spiritual master and the acharyas and our parampara, but the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is by helping him in his task of the transcendental gardener of Prema Bhakti and helping to distribute these fruits of love of Godhead throughout the world. So, of course, it is a great mission. It is a great task that has been passed down to us. Srila Prabhupada took up that task and he passed it on to us to continue in that process. Actually, in my initiation letter from Srila Prabhupada, He discussed many things, and he was mentioning a conversation he had just had with a professor. Prabhupada often would write about something that had just happened that was prominent in his that he was thinking about that day. And he said that during that conversation, the professor was mentioning that the problems of life were peace and ecology and pollution and overpopulation and so many things. And Srila Prabhupada said, we understand that these are not the real problems of life. The real problem of life is lack of God consciousness. So then his letter, his instruction, he said, it was along with a couple other devotees, he said, my instruction to you boys and girls is to take seriously this process of Krishna consciousness and make the whole world perfect by systematic propaganda work and spreading this Krishna conscious movement as far as you're able to do so. That was my out. So, since I had very limited capacity, at least, but to the degree that we're able to do so, to whatever propensity, whatever capacity that Lord, that we have been given, jai, shishi, gai, jai, jai, shishi, krishna, balaram, jai, shishi, radha, shamasindar. So whatever capacity we have, the instructions of our guru, instructions of Srila Prabhupada and of Lord Chaitanya, are to try to help the suffering conditioned souls of this age of Kali and to spread Krishna consciousness. So we have everything that we need. Srila Prabhupada has given us all of the processes of how to make this world Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada gave us the chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan, the Harinam. Srila Prabhupada gave us the distribution of prasadam to purify the hearts and the minds and the bodies of the conditioned souls. And Srila Prabhupada gave us this wonderful literature, spent his entire life, all of his energy to his last breath, translating Srimad Bhagavatam and these transcendental literatures, so that the living entities could become enlightened, you know, could become free from their ignorance and illusions, material world, and understand true spiritual knowledge, understand the real path of love of God, not being misled or illusioned by so many different yogis and different paths and different religionists and philosophers, but understanding the real practice of Krishna consciousness is given by Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna himself, of course, in our parampara. So all of these things are there. And these are our weapons. Just as we said that Lord Chaitanya comes not to kill the demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality, he also comes with his weapons. He comes with his associates. He comes with his own attractive features. And we have the weapons of these transcendental literatures, the Harinam, the chanting of the holy name, and prasadam. So these are our weapons in the war against Maya, in the war against illusion and materialism that we see throughout this age of Kali. And so we have this great opportunity to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see this Krishna conscious movement, this chanting of Hare Krishna, to go to every town and village and to help save all the living entities in this age of Kali. So this is a very wonderful, auspicious day to meditate upon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his coming into our life, coming into this world, and what it means to us personally, and to pray for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing that he is the most munificent, the most merciful incarnation of God, and he can indeed bestow love of God to us if we are sincere. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I think we have a few minutes before fire sacrifice or Abhishek begins. Are there any questions or comments? Ambarish Prabhu? Is there a microphone? Okay, let's get the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. It's my understanding that Lord Chaitanya does not come in every Kali Yuga.
Right.
So, number one, we're obviously very fortunate to have taken birth at this time. And number two, how do you know anything more about that? How is that determined, or what are the determining factors about when he appears?
Lord Chaitanya comes in the 28th Divya Yuga, in the Yuga cycle. So actually, Lord Krishna comes himself personally once in the day of Brahma, or once in 1,000. Yuga cycles, and Lord Chaitanya comes at the same time. So out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, That's how rare the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, that he only comes. There's always an incarnation for Kali Yuga. But Lord Chaitanya himself only comes this one day in Brahma. So yes, it's very, very special and very, very appropriate. I was wondering, Ambarish, do you know anything specifically about Lord Chaitanya's appearance in Mayapur? Because I know that's very, very dear to your heart and your service right now.
Yes, I the only thing is that I wish I could be in two places at one time, because I would like to be there now. But, obviously the celebration there is the best. I don't know anything specifically that I could mention at this point, but there's so many pastimes that are there. As soon as when you're driving from Calcutta, everybody who's been there knows, as soon as you enter Nadia, you start to feel the mood.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like it. I love Vrindavan, but I prefer to go to Mayapur. I feel it's my home. And anybody who's ever been there knows that mood that's there. It's the wonderful mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a great, wonderful place.
Thank you very much. It indeed is. I think most of us experience when we go to Mayapur, you feel the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, particularly I think since installation of Panchatattva, even more so. It's such an incredibly powerful feeling, and that at least I always feel this sort of, even in the middle of all these GBC meetings and my mind is distracted in so many ways, there's still that overall presence is there, that spiritual mood of Lord Chaitanya. And it's very, very merciful. And you kind of experience that difference in the mood of Vrindavan and the mood of Mayapur, at least myself, and many devotees have commented on this. Mayapur, or Vrindavan, can be very, very purifying. I usually get sick whenever I go to Vrindavan, because I need a lot of purification. I take it that way, as Krishna's mercy. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. In Mayapur, you usually just feel very blissful, and very ecstatic. And I think the thing that I always experience there, too, in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, is how naturally attracted to chanting the holy name. I find that chanting Hare Krishna is very effortless. Usually it's a great effort for me, and my mind is always rebelling against anything like controlling my mind by chanting Hare Krishna. But in Mayapur, it seems very natural and very effortless, and very, very wonderful. Anyone else? Prabhu?
Prabhupada once told us that he said this, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is man's last chance to become God conscious. I don't remember his exact word at the end, but he said it's our absolute last chance. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah, we know that in this Kali Yuga, of course, it's only going to get worse and worse. Yeah. But we're in this golden age of Kali right now because of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have this last chance, this last opportunity for us and for so many living entities to become purified before Kali Yuga gets so bad that it'll be very, very difficult to execute devotional service. Anything else? Dharmaraj?
Prabhu, you did mention how moral poverty was also one of the causes for Lord Chaitanya.
Oh, yes.
So if you would allow me, I can probably tell a story for those few who may not have known.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it happened that one time Narad Muni went to Vaikuntha, and he was doing some service to Mother Lakshmi. And he was hanging around doing service, and Mother Lakshmi knew that he wanted something. So then she asked him, what is it that he wants? So he said that he wants some Mahaprasadam from the Lord's plate. So Mother Lakshmi said, well, you're not supposed to ask for that. No one gets Mahaprasadam. He said, yes, I know, but still I want some Mahaprasadam. So anyway, so she stole some when Lord Vishnu was turned away, and she gave him a little bit of Mahaprasadam. So from then he got in ecstasy and he starts dancing and chanting all over the universe. So came around and Lord Shiva saw him, and in this mood that he never saw him before. Narada is always ecstatic, but he never saw him this much in ecstasy. So he finally calmed him down and asked him what caused him to get into this mood. So he said, oh, I got some Mahaprasadam from Lord Vishnu's plate. So then Lord Shiva said, well, where is my share? I'm your best friend. He said, oh, I didn't even think about that. So but when you look on his fingers, stuck in his nail, there was a tiny speck of Mahaprasad was still left there, because he didn't even wash his hands, he just starts dancing and chanting. So Lord Shiva took that and he also started dancing and chanting. And everyone thought, well, now the world is coming to the end. But Lord Shiva doing his Rudra dance. So they went to Mother Parvati and asked her to just go and calm him down and find out, you know, what's happening. So Mother Parvati went to Lord Shiva and asked, why is it that you got into this mood? So he explained, oh, I got a little bit of Mahaprasad from Narad. So she said, where is my share? So he said, well, I don't know. So then she got really mad at him. She said, I'm your Dharampatni, I'm your better half. And you didn't leave any Mahaprasadam for me? So she got really angry and she went to approach Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu pacified her and asked her, what is it that she wanted? So she explained to him that they got Mahaprasadam and she didn't get any. So he said, okay, I'm going to give you Mahaprasad. So then she said, not only that, but I want to ask you to be impartial and give your Mahaprasad to everyone. So then he said, okay, I'll come and I'll give Mahaprasad to everyone in Kali Yuga. So right. That's one of the reasons.
I don't know whether we just didn't think about it, we hadn't heard that pastime, but I didn't realize this until just recently, in the last few years. I always thought Mahaprasadam was always there eternally, and it's not. It's a very, very rare thing, and it's only in Kali Yuga that we have the special mercy, literally, of Prasadam. That's another form of purification, thanks to Mother Parvati. Okay. Yes. I think we're getting almost ready for the Abhishek. Badahari, were you going to lead kirtan? Or? You could go ahead and, you want to go ahead and start kirtan then? Or? Yeah. Okay, we'll be doing the Abhishek in just a few minutes here. Oh, I'm sorry, one more? Sorry.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. This might be a little silly question, but Lord Chaitanya is saying he's going to deliver the whole world, and then Mahananda Prabhu was saying this is our last chance. So my first question was, the whole world, does that mean every single living entity, or just those who want to take up the process, and how does that equate with this is our last chance?
Well, Lord Chaitanya Prabhu indicated he would deliver every living entity. I'm assuming that would be all the living entities around the planet at that time. You know, maybe later in Kali Yuga, if you take birth, of course, eventually Kalki kills everybody, and everyone eventually gets liberated. Nobody is stuck here forever, but it could be many, many, many years and lifetimes. But that's my understanding. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and was going to deliver every living entity that was on the Earth planet.
We read in Anti Leela where Haridas Thakur mentions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his kirtan, delivered everybody in the universe.
Right.
He comes as a Gaur Narayan in every Kali Yuga to give the Harinam, the Yuga Dharma, but he only gives Prem when he comes as Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So this is the difference. And everybody is already liberated. But not everybody's going to get Prem, because liberation is Vaikuntha, not in the material world. So when Swayam Bhagavan Krishna comes, he personally bestows Prem, and that's the huge difference between this Kali Yuga. This is more of a Prem Yuga than a Kali Yuga. That's how Vaishnava Maharaj explained it, because this is not an ordinary Kali Yuga. So how fortunate we are just to be in it.
All right, thank you very much. Very, very nice. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway.